With you again tonight. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. And as mentioned, I'd like to consider with you in the next three nights the life of Abraham. Much more could be said, but there's three messages or three things that I want to bring before us in relation to Abraham. Tonight, I want to consider with you five altar experiences in Abraham's life. He built four altars, but we're going to notice five experiences in relation to those four altars. Tomorrow night, we're going to consider four cities in Abraham's life. And then, lastly, on Friday night, I want to consider with you Abraham's faith. So we're going to read a number of passages together. The first one is in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 6. And again, I want you to look for an altar in the passages that we're reading together. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree of More, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your descendants I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So this is the first altar, and it's the altar by the oak of More near Shechem. Verse 8, And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord. This is the second altar. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So here, the second altar that we're going to consider is the altar at Bethel. Now come to chapter 13, verse 4. Well, we'll read verse 1. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. And Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Verse 4, to the place of the altar. This is the third altar experience. To the place of the altar which he had made there at first. We've just read about that altar. And it says, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And so this is the third altar experience of Abram. And it's the same altar, the altar at Bethel, the second time. Now come to chapter 13 and verse 18. Chapter 13 and verse 18, Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So here is the fourth time that we read of an altar in his experience, and it's really the third altar that Abraham built, and it's by the oaks of Mamre, close to Hebron. Now the last one is in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9 for the sake of time. It says in verse 9, And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So here we have the last altar experience of Abraham, and it's the fourth altar that he would build, and it's the altar on the Mount of Moriah. So we're going to look at these five altar experiences in Abraham's life, and I would hope to speak a little bit about what it meant to Abraham, of course, and then I want to apply it practically to us in our Christian experience. But before we do, just by way of introduction, I want you to notice with me a little bit about the altar and what the altar would speak of in relation to God. And the first thing, as I was thinking of an altar, it speaks of slaughter and sacrifice. It speaks of bloodshed and death. Animal sacrifices were made to God. And you can see that throughout the Old Testament, leading in the New Testament, that linked to the altar was the sacrifice of animals. But not only that, when it comes to the altar, and when it comes to that which was symbolized by what was being offered up, speaks to us, first of all, of acknowledgement of God. That's what we have there in relation to the altar, an acknowledgement of God. But not only that, an approach to God. This is how they would approach God, by way of the altar. And then there would be appreciation for God. That sacrifice, that animal would be slaughtered, and that sacrifice would be offered up to God in appreciation for God. And as we think of those three things, acknowledgement, approach, and appreciation for God, today we call that worship. And so that's really what we have here linked to these altars. It's a picture to us of worship. When it comes to these altars were not elaborate, but they were simple, simply made. For an altar to be made elaborate in an elaborate way, it would speak to us of the efforts of man trying to appease God. But the altars that we read of, they were simply made. And it was a means of seeking God. Not only that, when it comes to the altar, you can see again the use of altars right from the very beginning. Adam and Cain, they built an altar in sacrifice to God. You can see that all the way up to the tabernacle. Right from the tabernacle to the temple, and from the temple right into the New Testament, right into the time of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, there was the use of altars. And of course, the animal sacrifices would be a picture to us of the Lord Jesus, that once for all sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And the Hebrew writer reminds us that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, it was once, it was for all times and for all people. And God was satisfied with that sacrifice. God was satisfied with the work of his Son on the cross. And so as we think of these altars tonight, I want you to think of how these altars speak to us of the importance of daily communion with God. This is one of the things that really spoke to me as I was looking at this subject and at these different altars, that it speaks to us of our daily communion with God, and it's based on the precious blood of Christ. That's why you and I can come boldly into the presence of God. We can do that collectively. We can do that individually. We can do that in the hall. We can do that in our homes. But it's all based on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we come to Genesis chapter 12. And I want you to think of this first altar, the altar by the oak at More near Shechem. Now, linked to this altar is Abraham's call. And not only that, Abraham's response to the call. And linked to this altar is praise. If you go back into Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 to 32, we learn a little bit about Abraham and his family. And we learn that his father was Terah. And Terah was an idol worshiper, a worshiper of false gods. We learn of that even more in Joshua chapter 24. And we learn as well that Terah, along with his family, are going to move from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But they settled in Haran. We come into chapter 12, and again, we have the Lord, and he's going to speak to Abraham. Abraham is about 75 years old at this time. And we learn from Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 that this is not the first time that God is going to call Abraham. We learn that he had called him prior to this, but it doesn't seem to us as if Abraham had responded to that call. And yet there seems to be a little bit of an evidence that Abraham had shared the revelation that he had received from God with his family, perhaps even with his father, and that's what encouraged the move to go to Canaan. But we're not sure. But we do know that as they were moving towards Canaan, they landed in this place called Haran, and that's where they dwelt. As I was thinking of that, I was thinking of how in Abraham's case, and the fact that he's being called, as it were, for the second time in the beginning of chapter 12 here, it's like a halfway obedience. And sometimes we refer to a delayed obedience. We know that God wants us to do something. We've been called to do something, but we don't respond right away or respond in a half-hearted measure. Well, we've all heard it before, that delayed obedience is disobedience. And there seems to be a little picture of that here in Abraham's experience. In chapter 12, verses 1 and 3 again, we learn of God's plan, his purpose, and his promise to Abraham. You notice in these first three verses of the chapter that five times God says, I will. And we learn here as well that Abraham is the subject of blessing. And not only that, that he is to be a medium in order to bless others. And again, a little something practical for you and I tonight, that God has blessed us. And in turn now, we are to be a blessing to others. We see this in Abraham's experience. God says, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. A blessing to all the families of the earth. But again, God is going to make a covenant with Abraham. And it's a covenant without conditions. God says, I will. We learn in verses 4 to 6 that Abraham departs and he takes along with him Lot, his nephew. And they're going to travel quite a distance. You know, sometimes we don't realize how far individuals in the Old Testament had to travel. And they didn't have cars like we have today. When it comes to Abraham's travels, from Ur to Haran was about 950 kilometers. And from Haran to Canaan would be another 650 kilometers. So Abraham would have to travel quite a distance in order to get to his destination, Canaan. But then we read here in our passage tonight that he arrives near Shechem. And it's interesting the names of the Old Testament cities and the Old Testament people and the meaning of these different names. For example, when it comes to Shechem, it means shoulder. And then it says that he was at the oak tree of More. And More means teacher or instruction. And that's interesting because here in verse 7 now we read that the Lord is going to appear to Abraham. And he's going to instruct Abraham in this place. Now I just want to make mention now that Abraham is going to be changed to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 in verse 5. But in the beginning, when we learn of this man, his name is Abram. And God again is going to reveal to Abraham his promises, his plan for Abraham. And Abraham is going to build an altar. And this is his first altar. And it's an altar now that is going to be built for God. And he's going to offer up sacrifice. And it's a little picture to us of submission to divine authority. God is going to instruct Abraham. God is going to say to Abraham, this is what I want you to do. And now in this first altar, we see that Abraham is going to submit to God's authority. And he's going to build an altar. Again, in a very practical way, it speaks to us today of the lordship of Christ. When a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is he their Savior, but he's the Lord of their life. And now we are to put ourselves under his authority. And we are to willingly put ourselves under the authority of the Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Christ. And we see that in this first altar. This is really what Abram is doing as we begin to learn about him and his life with God. But not only that, not only do we have Abraham's call and his response to the call, but as a result, there's going to be praise to God. And you'll notice in this first altar that Abraham's heart and the worship of his heart is towards God. And again, that's a little principle for you and I tonight. That when we worship, that the heart of our worship should be towards God and towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Our occupation should be with him. So that's what we have here in this first altar. But again, a little practical application as we move along. As I was thinking of Abraham's call, I was thinking of our call to salvation. How many times did God call you by way of the gospel and you didn't respond? And yet that night of your salvation, that morning of your salvation, that moment of your salvation when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you responded to the call. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you remember that call? Do you remember when you responded to the call of God's so great salvation? That's what we have here in relation to Abraham. But not only the call to salvation, I was thinking in a very practical way, the call to service. Because, you know, linked to what we have in Matthew chapter 18 and verse, or Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, sorry, we have what follows. The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so as I was thinking of the call of Abraham, I was thinking of our call to salvation, our call to service. You know, each and every one of us here tonight, saved by the grace of God, both men and women, you've received gift from God. And God wants you to use that gift for his honor and for his glory, for the blessing of others. Remember, Abraham was being blessed by God, and he was now to be a medium to be a blessing to others. And so God has given you and I gift, and he wants us to use our gift to be a blessing to others. And that reminds me of the different spheres of service. Whether that be in the assembly, whether that be in the gospel, whether that be in everyday life. You have a gift, and God wants to use you, and he wants you to use your gift to bring glory to his name. And so like Abraham, God wants to do a work in us. He wants to do a work through us for his glory and for the blessings of others. So that's what we learn when it comes to this first altar. But then you'll notice right next to this in verse 8 that Abraham is on the move. And he's going to move now to the area of Bethel. It says, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent. Notice that. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And he called upon the name of the Lord. You know, in the first altar, the Lord is appearing to Abraham, or calling out to Abraham. But now, in the second altar, we have Abraham calling out to God. Again, linked to this second altar, I want you to think of relationship and prayer. Relationship and prayer. Abraham moves from the plain, and he's going to move now to the mountain. And again, that could speak to us a little of his spiritual progress. His relationship with God is growing. That's what we have here in this second altar. And it's here now that Abraham is going to call upon the name of the Lord. It's also interesting to note that he moved. And in the original language, that word moved actually means retired. He retired to this area near Bethel, east of Bethel. And it's interesting to note as well that Abraham, later in his life, he's going to come back to this place. He's going to retire, as it were, in this same area. But you know, notice a number of things here when it comes to this second altar. The first thing I want you to notice again is Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. But it wouldn't be given that name until Jacob, a little time later. But that is the meaning of Bethel, the house of God. And when we think of Bethel, the house of God here, we think of Abraham's duty to God in worship. But then you'll notice as well, Ai. Ai speaks of heap of ruins. That's really the meaning of Ai, a heap of ruins. And that would speak to us now of Abraham's duty to the world and witness. Now, I like that. Abraham now is going to build an altar between Bethel and Ai. Bethel again speaks of his responsibility to God and worship. And Ai would speak to us of his responsibility to the world and witness. And just like Abraham, we have that same responsibility of worship and of witness. I think of what the Lord Jesus said there in John chapter 10 and verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Going into the presence of God, worship. Going out into the world, witness. We have that same principle found here in relation to this second altar. You notice as well that he pitched his tent. And the idea of pitching his tent speaks of something that is temporary, something that is movable, easily to pick up and move. And that reminds us again that Abraham understood that what we have here on earth is temporary. And he's looking for something that is eternal. And that's what we find when it comes to this altar. It doesn't say that he pitched the altar. No, it says that he built an altar to the Lord. And this idea of building the altar would speak of something that is more permanent. Something that has eternal value. And again, you can see the picture. That we're not to be so occupied with this world and temporal things, but we are to occupy ourselves with eternal things. And that's what we have here in relation to this altar. He built an altar to the Lord. It also speaks of a lifelong commitment. It speaks of dependence upon God. And it's here in this place, and I want us to appreciate this, linked to Abraham's spiritual progress. Linked to this altar is spending time with God in prayer and worship. And again, this was the bent of Abraham's path of life. This was the bent of Abraham's path of faith. Spending time with God in prayer and worship. So what can we take away from this in a very practical way? Well, I have a number of questions that maybe you just need to ask yourself tonight. Linked to this second altar, how are you doing spiritually? You know, that's a question that I like to ask Christians. How are you doing spiritually? How would you answer that tonight? Have you built an altar? Do you have an altar in your life's experience? An altar where you can spend time with God? I think of a young family. Do you have a family altar where the Word of God is opened and you can discuss the Word of God and you can share your faith in the importance and the truths of the Word of God with the family? Each and every one of us tonight, like Abraham, we need to build an altar in our life. Where we can spend time with God and where we can worship God. Am I active in worship? And worship isn't something that we just do when we come together on a Sunday morning at the remembrance meeting. Worship is something that we should be engaged in throughout the week, each and every day, and that's going to affect our worship Sunday morning. Am I active in witness? Am I sharing the gospel with others? I was just mentioning to someone this evening at the supper table that yesterday, as a brother and I were out for lunch, we had a beautiful opportunity to share the gospel with the waitress. Well, God gave me another opportunity to do that today. Are we active in sharing the Lord, witnessing to others about Christ? Are we growing in the Lord? That's linked to this altar. Is there spiritual progress in our life? What is important to us as believers? Are we living for time and for eternity? You know, these are questions that should prompt us to think as to our own relationship with the Lord. And so that's what we have here in this second altar. But you'll notice as well that we're going to see Abraham now, and that same faith that is growing in the Lord is going to be tested. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow night. When we come into Genesis chapter 13 and verse 4 now, I want you to notice the second time that Abraham is going to find himself at this altar in Bethel. Now, prior to that, we learn that there's a famine in the land, and Abraham is going to go down into Egypt because the famine was severe. And he's thinking to himself, if I go down into Egypt, that's going to be better for me. That's going to be better for my family. But we don't read of Abraham consulting the Lord. We don't read of Abraham asking the Lord, should I go down into Egypt? But he's going to rely on his own wisdom. And anytime you read of one going down in the scriptures, the majority of the time, it's in a negative sense. There's going to be negative results. But there he is, Abraham now, he's going down into Egypt, and he's going to encourage his wife Sarah to lie, because she was a beautiful woman and he feared his life. And he said to his wife Sarah, he said, when they see you, they're going to want to take you and they're going to kill me. And I've mentioned before that when it comes to Sarai, she did lie. It's true that she was Abraham's half-sister. So you might call it half a lie, but it was still a lie. But as I was thinking of that even today, I don't think that Sarai was really in total compliance with what Abraham asked her to do, but she went along with it. But we notice as well, and we're going to notice again a little bit more of that tomorrow night, that God is going to preserve her, despite the lie that was told. God is going to preserve her, and as a result, Abraham is going to be blessed. But for Abraham, this is going to be a test of his faith. And here in this section, we learn that Abraham had failed. Rather than depending upon God, he's going to depend upon his own wisdom. But then we have Abraham now, and he's going back up. He's going up from Egypt. He's going to find himself again in Bethel. He's going to come to the very place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar, verse 4, which he had made there at the first. And again it says, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You know, linked to this third experience, the second altar, but the third experience in Abraham's life, it speaks to us of God's recovery and restoration and providential care. As I already mentioned, down in Egypt, Abraham failed to look to his God, to get direction from God. He lied. And yet, despite his failure, God is going to bless Abraham. Not only that, I want you to notice that he goes back up. And he goes back to the very place where he had been in the beginning. You know, as I was thinking of recovery, or when I was thinking of restoration here, I was thinking of how there's a principle that we need to follow. That when there's moral failure, or when there's spiritual failure that comes into our life, We need to go back to the place where we got off the tracks. We need to go back to the place where the problem began. We need to go back to that place with an attitude of repentance towards God and acknowledge, this is where I went off the tracks. This is where I went wrong. And it's, again, from that very place that we need to move forward. And so the little principle that we need to appreciate tonight, that when it comes to restoration, that in order for us to be restored, and in order for us to proceed and to progress, we need to go back. We see that here in this third altar experience. I was thinking of Romans 2 and 4. It says, the goodness of God leads to repentance. You know, that's true of the sinner, but that's also true of the saint. And I just want to mention now that repentance, when it comes to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus, is all important. And I believe that despite Abraham's failure down in Egypt, God blessed him. And the goodness of God led Abraham to repentance, to come back to this place, that he might be restored back to the Lord. So remember this, when it comes to restoration, before we can go forward, we must go back. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to go back physically, because sometimes that's an impossibility. But in our minds and in our hearts, before God, we need to go back. Where did we go off the rails? Where did things begin to go wrong? Now, we need to do that individually. But there's times when we need to do that as an assembly. If there's ever going to be reconciliation and restoration, we need to go back and acknowledge, this is where we went wrong. This is where I went wrong. And we need to be honest before God. And it's only then that we can move forward and make progress in our Christian experience. You notice as well that just after this, there's going to be a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And again, Abraham's faith is going to be tested. And he's going to give Lot first choice. He says, you go to the right and I'll go to the left. You go to the west and I'll take the east. And of course, Lot chooses the plain of Jordan towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's going to be that separation now between Lot, the herdsman of Lot, and Abraham, and the herdsman of Abraham. I just want to mention here that separation, biblical separation, is a positive truth. And this separation here was a blessing to Abraham. And it was a preservation to Abraham. Because in the very next chapter, we read about how Lot finds himself right in Sodom. And Sodom is going to be captured along with those that occupy that city and the many possessions. And Abraham was preserved from all that. And it was a result of this separation. We also are going to notice now that Abraham is going to make a move. He's going to move from Bethel, and he's going to make that move to Mamre, which is about 60 kilometers from Bethel. But before we look at this fourth altar experience, again, I want to apply some practical application. And here's the first question again. I find that's the best way to get us to think. Am I in need of restoration? Do I individually now need restoration to God? To maybe a brother or a sister? Am I in need of restoration? When strife occurs, that's what we have here in this chapter. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And I find it interesting that it says, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt in the land. I sometimes wonder, why did the Spirit of God put that there? To remind us that we're living in enemy territory, and to remind us that the world is looking and watching on. But when strife occurs, how do we deal with it? Or do we deal with it? You know, I often tell individuals that when it comes to the assembly, that we have problems in the assembly. But I says, we deal with our problems. And we need to deal with our problems according to the Word of God. That's what we have here. Are we living separated lives? Again, biblical separation is a positive truth. Am I separated from this world? Am I separated to God? There's two parts to separation. Being separated from something and separated to something. Being separated from the world. Being separated to God. And again, when it comes to biblical separation, it's not segregation or isolation. We're not to segregate ourselves from everyone in the world in that sense, from our family. How can we be a light to our family if we have nothing to do with our family? How can we be a light to this world if I'm going to completely segregate myself from this world? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're to be a light to the world. So biblical separation is not segregation, but it's not isolation. Not everyone is an island to themselves. No. Again, we need one another as Christians, and we are to be a light in this world. So those are some practical things that we can think about in relation to this third altar experience. I want you to notice when we come to the end of chapter 13 now, and verse 18, we have the altar by the oaks of Mamre close to Hebron. Now linked to this altar is reassurance and peace. See, back in verse 14, God is going to reconfirm his promises to Abraham. He says to Abraham in verse 14, lift your eyes. You know, sometimes we need to do that today even. We need to lift our eyes heavenward. We need to lift our eyes, as it were, from having a focus upon this world to having a focus upon the Word of God. He says, lift your eyes and look. God says, all this is going to be yours. I promised all this to you. And so as Abraham lifted his eyes, as he was looking now, it's a look of faith, and it's a look by faith. What I find interesting when we come to verse 18 here again, then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar to the Lord. Again, when you think of this area, Mamre, it means vigor, fatness and prosperity. And I thought to myself when I was looking at the meaning of that the name of that place, it reminds me of what Lot saw as he was about to make that choice. He lifted his eyes towards the plain of Jordan, and he saw that it was nice green grass, and there was lots of water for his cattle and his sheep and so forth. He thought, that'd be a good place. And as I was thinking of that, Abraham now is going to be blessed by God. Even though Lot chose towards the plains of Jordan, thinking to himself, this is the blessed place, Abraham now is just going to move just 60 kilometers away, and God is going to give him what Abraham was, or what Lot was looking at, you might say. A place that was vigor, fatness, and prosperity. Now, as I was thinking of that, and again, tomorrow night we're going to talk a little bit more about the choice that was made between Lot and Abraham, but what I was thinking about here in relation to this altar now is that Abram was not shortchanged by God. And in a very practical way, I want you to think about that when we look to God and we make choices that are in obedience to what God says in His Word, we're not going to be shortchanged. God is going to bless Abraham here because he's going to look to his God. And as you and I look to our God, we are not going to be shortchanged. Not only that, I want you to notice not only the trees of Mamre, but it says, which are in Hebron. And it's interesting that Hebron means fellowship. Fellowship. And so Abraham now is going to enjoy fellowship with his God. He's going to enjoy peace. He's separated from Egypt now. He's free from the strife between his herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. He's going to enjoy security in the presence of God. That's what we have here in this fourth altar experience. He's going to enjoy fellowship with his God. It's a time when he's going to spend time with God and be strengthened by God. And Abram is going to spend a lot of his remaining years in this place, linked to this altar. Again, as I was thinking some practical application, I was thinking of the different seasons of life. You have the teenage years. And then you have the married with young children years. And then you have the middle-aged years. That's me. And then you have the retired. But it doesn't matter in which season of life or in which sphere of life you find yourself in. It's important to spend time with God. It's important to spend time with God in prayer and in worship, in the reading of His Word. It's important to be strengthened by God in all those different seasons of life. How many times have we heard people say, no time? Well, you need to take the time. You're always going to have the excuse, no time for prayer, no time to read my Bible. You have to take the time. And that's one of the things that I learned from this fourth altar experience. That Abraham is going to take the time to spend time with God, and it's then that he's going to be strengthened by God in whatever season of life. Now, a good number of things are going to happen between what we have here in Genesis chapter 13 as we move into Genesis chapter 22. For example, in chapter 14, Lot is going to be brought into captivity and then rescued. Not only that, in chapter 14, we read a little bit about Abraham and Melchizedek. We come into chapter 15, and God's covenant with Abraham is going to be reconfirmed once again. It's in chapter 16 that we read a little bit more about Hagar and Ishmael. Now, where did Hagar come onto the scene? Well, back in chapter 12, when Abraham went down into Egypt, he was blessed with men servants and maidservants. It was at that time that, no doubt, Hagar came onto the scene. But it's in chapter 16 that we read about Hagar and Ishmael. In chapter 17, we have the sign of the covenant. It's then that Abraham's name is going to be changed to Abraham. And it's then that we read about circumcision as well. In chapter 18, we have the promise of a son. God says that Sarai is going to be changed to Sarah now, and she's going to receive a son. And Isaac would be born. In chapter 19, we read of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In chapter 20, we have Abraham and Abimelech. And again, Abraham lies a second time in relation to his wife Sarah. In chapter 21, Isaac is born and Hagar and Ishmael depart. But now we come to chapter 22, and I'm going to spend the remaining minutes there tonight. And we have the altar on Mount Moriah. Now, when we begin the chapter, again, we read in verse 1, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram. There were many tests in Abram's experience. But perhaps this was the greatest test of all. I would suggest that there are three things linked to this altar. You'll notice that in each case, there was something linked to that altar. When it comes to this altar was an altar of testing. Take, now your son Isaac, your only son who you love. It's an altar of testing. It would also be an altar of revelation. We see that in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember what Abraham said to the servants. He says, I and the lad go yonder and we will return. Now Abraham said that knowing what was required of him by God. And yet he had faith that God would raise him up. And no doubt he had received that as a revelation from God. But the third thing I want you to notice about this altar is it's an altar of provision. And we often come to this passage and we know the story well, how Abraham has that knife and he's going to take the life of his son Isaac, and God is going to intervene. And there's a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. And that ram is going to be offered in the stead of Isaac. And so this altar would speak of an altar of provision. Now, as I already mentioned, there were many tests in Abraham's experience, but this would be the ultimate test. And I believe the test is this. Abraham, are you willing to give all to God? That's the ultimate test. Now, generally, altars were built on higher ground. But perhaps this was the highest ground of all. The greatest test, the highest ground of all, he's going to go to one of the mountains. And it's there that Abraham's faith is going to be tested. I find it interesting that in verse 4, it says that they went a 3-day journey. You know, there was plenty of time for Abraham to change his mind and to go back, but he didn't do that. No doubt during those 3 days, he's pondering what God had asked him to do. No doubt during that time, he's praying to God. But the time finally came that they came to the mount, the place. And they had the wood, they had the fire and the knife. And now we read of Abraham and his son Isaac going up that mount. And again, as they are traveling up that mount, Abraham would go up that mount with a confidence in his God. As already mentioned, knowing that he was to take the life of his son, believing that God would raise him up again. Why? Because Isaac was a son of promise. And of course, when we get to the top of the mount, I can just picture Isaac and Abraham building that altar together. And then Isaac is being bound and placed on that altar. And as already mentioned, Abraham is ready to take his life and God is going to intervene. Again, this is the greatest test that Abraham would face in his experience with God. Again, Abraham would be told, lift up your eyes. The promises of God would be reconfirmed to Abraham. And now it says at the end of it all, together they went down. And I just picture to myself, what would it have been for Abraham and Isaac to go down that mount? No doubt they would have gone down that mount with joy in their hearts. And they would have gone down that mount with a greater confidence in God. You know, oftentimes that's why God puts us through tests and trials, that we might have a greater confidence in our God. But you know, one has said, when it comes to this last altar experience, that God didn't want Isaac, but he wanted Abraham's heart. You know, and that's true for you and I tonight. God wants our heart. He just doesn't want you. He doesn't just want me. But he wants our heart. One has also said that Abraham really wasn't the one on the altar. Or Isaac wasn't really the one on the altar, but Abraham was. He was the one that was on the altar, you might say. And again, this would be the supreme trial, the summit of Abraham's faith. He's willing to give all to God. Because that's basically what we read here. God says, do your son no harm. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He was willing to give all to God. Now again, as we close, what can we learn from this in a very practical way? Well, my mind went to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and I think we all know those two verses. Paul makes a plea there. He says that they would present their bodies, their lives, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Well, one read it this way, it's the least you can do. Again, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as I was thinking of this last altar experience, perhaps the greatest test of all, the summit of Abraham's faith, are we willing to put ourselves on the altar for God? Are we willing to give all to God, just like Abraham? You know, that's a challenge tonight. It's a challenge for me. And I'm sure tonight it's a challenge for you. And do I have this kind of commitment? You know, that's what we read about when it came to Abraham in the beginning, when it comes to his call. And his response to the call, he's going to build an altar. And by building that altar, he's showing submission. He's showing that he's going to put himself under the authority of God now. He's showing that he's going to be committed to God. Or are we committed to God in that way? So just in closing, again, I just want you to think of these five altar experiences. And I'm just going to give it to you in just a little bit of a different way. Again, when it comes to the first altar in Genesis 12, verses 6 and 7, we have Abram answering the call of God and lordship. Lordship. In Genesis 12 and 8, we have Abram enjoying the care of God in prayer. In Genesis 13 and 4, we have Abram receiving his guidance from God and restoration. We come to Genesis 13 and 18, and we have Abram being reassured as to the promises of God and peace. And then when it comes to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9 now, we have Abraham gives all to God and the greatest test of his faith. You know, might these few thoughts provoke us to think a little bit more about these altar experiences, and might we be able to apply them to even to our own experience in a very practical way as to our call, as to our spiritual progress, as to our need for restoration, as to our need of being strengthened and enjoying fellowship with God, and when it comes to the different tests that we experience in our Christian life. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow night. In fact, the three messages can't help but kind of overlap a little bit, but tomorrow night we're going to talk about four cities. Four cities in Abraham's experience, a city behind him, a city below him, a city beside him, and then a city before him. And I hope to apply these four cities in a very practical way, and that it might be a help and a blessing to us. So thanks for coming tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Let's pray.